And this is the Bay Area's favorite quiz show, Minds Over Matter, with moderator Dana Rodriguez, accompanied by technical editor Kara Pace, educator Lori Fisher. And it's got to be our moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Damien, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. Hope you are having a lovely morning, and we do hope also that you can spend the next hour with us, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, what we are looking for is your participation. That's very, very important. We love to hear from you. We love your questions, and we love it when you answer our questions. So, all that being said, here are the two numbers to call. The first is 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. And we do have a toll-free number. Yes, we really do. 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. As I said before, we'd love to hear from you, and we do hope you will call soon, because the sooner you call, the sooner we will get you on. We're going to give you some questions momentarily, but if you have one of your own, that is just fine. So those two numbers are 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. It is also okay to send us a message via email. We like to talk to you, but emails are okay too. And that email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is mindsovermatter1. That's the numeral one, mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at kalw.org. And of course, with Damien here, he'll do his usual fine job on the podcast, and that should be up very soon after the show at kalw.org and many other places, but start with KALW. I'm sure that would be much appreciated. All right. All that being said, we will start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. And here is the first. Instead of the quiz she originally planned to give you all this week, Kara Pace, who is in the throes of her annual post-flu shot misery, will be dimming the lights and showing a film strip instead. That's cool. About highway safety, no doubt.
Yeah.
I love those. I miss those. Bring them back.
Blood flows right on the highway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite.
Hoping to avoid the horrific news that daily seems to mount exponentially, Lori Fisher is just back from Santa Barbara, where the news is unfortunately exactly the same, and the weather was Chicago-style worse. He is so happy to be back home. And Lori is on mute, so hopefully he will remedy that.
Yes.
Here we go.
Thank you for that. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, has come hither, but only after a yawn or two.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
and too. All that being said, we'll begin the questioning with Kara Pace.
All right. I am not kidding about these film strips. I am going to give you some names of some fake movies, and I want you to tell me the real movies in which they were featured. So these are in chronological order, starting in 1924 and ending in 2001.
So these are movies within a movie?
Yes, I'll give you the within a movie.
Okay.
You tell me the movie.
The without movie.
Yes, that's right. I'll give you the sandwich meat movie. You give me the sandwich bread movie. So the first one is called Hearts and Pearls. Hearts and Pearls. That's our 1924. Number two is Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
What? Are you giving us the years? No.
Okay, sure. 1942. Okay. Number three is The Dueling Cavalier. That's 1952. Number four is The Gold of Cairo, 1966. Number five is The Stand Up, 1979. Number six is Violets Are Blue, 1981. Number seven is The Mutants of 2051 AD, from 1983. Number eight is Gandhi Part Two, 1989. Number nine is Helix, and that is from 1999. And the last one is Good Will Hunting 2, Hunting Season. That is 2001.
Wow.
So again, from 1924, Hearts and Pearls, 1942, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, 1952, The Dueling Cavalier, 1966, The Gold of Cairo, 1979, The Stand-Up, 1981, Violets Are Blue, 1983, The Mutants of 2051 AD, 1989, Gandhi Part Two, or just Gandhi Two, actually. 1999 is Helix, and from 2001, Good Will Hunting Two, Hunting Season. So do you know any of the films in which those films, all fictional, were featured?
I think I might have one, but that's it. How about you, Dana?
I forgot a few of them, yeah. Go ahead.
The one I think is right, I think The Dueling Cavaliers was in Singing in the Rain.
It was in Singing in the Rain. That's a bell.
And I can't hear the bell, but I'll assume I got one. Dana?
Say that.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know anymore. So take over. You can have my next two guesses.
Let's see. Hearts
well, I'll give Dana two, and then he can take Lori's other one. So okay. Three total.
Very generous.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Hearts and Pearls is from Buster Keaton and Sherlock Jr.
That's correct.
He gets his inspiration from the Hearts and Pearls to be a detective. And Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, of course, is from the wonderful Sullivan's Travels. It's the film that John Sullivan wants to make that would bring meaning to his life. And
very good.
Like Capra, he says.
Correct. So you get one more from the rest of the list for now.
And Gold of Cairo, I know this is not a very good movie. Gold of Cairo is from a Peter Sellers film called After the Fox.
Yes, I mostly chose that so that if I had to give you a hint, I got to say Victor Mature's name, which
I always
love to do.
Yeah.
All right, so that's it for you, sir. No more.
That's good.
So the rest go to the listening audience if they want them. So the films that we have left are The Stand-Up from 1979, Violets Are Blue from 1981, The Mutants of 2051 AD from 1983, Gandhi 2 from 1989, Helix from 1999, and Good Will Hunting 2, Hunting Season, 2001.
Good job. All right. And Lori, go ahead, please.
Well, the Emmys were on last week, and I was hoping that a certain show would win. I was interested in best drama. And for some reason I got interested in shows that only have one word in their title. So if Severance had won or Paradise had won, that would count. So my question is, in the history of the Emmys, seven shows on network TV have won best drama and only had a single word. It could be, I'll give you a couple that might be hints. If it's a number, I'll count that. If it's a made up word like Andor, so I think the key is they don't have any spaces in their name. They're looking for the Emmy for best drama in the history of the Emmys. There's seven on network TV. Those are what I want. I'll leave it at that.
I do not watch drama, so I don't know.
Oh, you don't watch? Okay.
They're
famous, though. You've heard of all of them.
I'm sure I have. They're just not top of mind for me. What about Empire?
Empire never won, but that would count.
How old is the oldest one, may I ask?
The oldest one is late 50s. And let's see, more than half of them are before the year 2000.
Not Dragnet.
Yes, Dragnet won one year.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
It did.
I was just checking how far back I could go. With
yeah. Whatever. Oh, you know what? I didn't write down the name, but that was probably before 1958. So very good.
I would have been, I think. Yes, that's right.
And there's two more of that era, kind of that late 50s, black and white, middle 50s, late 50s, black and white era.
How about maybe Gunsmoke?
Gunsmoke did win. Yeah, that was 1958.
Right. I'll stop there.
Okay.
because I can't think of anything else.
Okay, so we're looking for one word. We're looking for best drama that's a single word, and Dana got Gunsmoke and Dragnet. That's exactly right. Abbreviations would count. That's a hint. And numbers would count. That's also
my kind
hint.
Of dramas. Yeah.
What about 30 something? I don't even
that
know.
Is excellent.
Is it?
Yes, yeah, that's yeah, good. Yeah, no spaces in there. Very good, Kara. Okay, so we're looking for what do we have? Four more for network TV, and then three more got in later, but those for our audience is probably a little more obscure. But if you get those, that would be great.
All right. Thank you for that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good morning. So my question today about love and marriage. But my first question, astronomy, little astronomy again. So our moon, the beautiful moon we see every month, is it going to crash on Earth or is it moving away?
It's moving away.
It is moving away. A few inches a year, so, you know, a million years or so, it's going to disappear completely, sadly. Or how about our planet, our neighboring planet, Mars? How many moons it has?
It has just the one.
It has two.
Oh.
Okay.
It has two?
It has two. Yeah. Yeah. The name of the name is Phobos.
And Deimos.
Deimos, you're right. What Phobos means? It's really beautiful. Astronomy is beautiful because it gives names and scriptures from the ancient time. What does Phobos mean?
Fear.
Phobos.
Right? Fear.
Exactly. Fear. How about Deimos?
So it's like war or something like that, isn't it?
It means terror, which really it is very, very close to demon. It's like terror or dreadful. Okay. Mm-hmm. This all of these names come from ancient Greek names, you know, of gods. The two, Deimos and Phobos, are the sons of one of the ancient Greek gods. Okay, so that's beautiful. We have a lot of things about astronomy. Now about, as I emailed you, my email today about love and marriage. Most of our customs, as the ancient Hebrew, you know, and Muslim get the dietary thing, not eating pork, and all of that. Also, our wedding. Why our wedding dresses are white? What country did they come from?
Egypt, I think.
Egypt, yes. How about wearing black at funeral? What country?
I'm going to go with Egypt on that one.
Okay. Sorry, it's just so obvious. All right. The last part of this question is wedding rings. Why do we wear wedding rings on the finger on our hand, that's specific? Why do you think that also comes mentioned in Egypt, by the way? Why?
Because it's the vein that goes to the heart.
Exactly. It is the shortest distance between the heart and that finger. Really beautiful, beautiful history. And people, it's really good to know our history because that goes long way. So my last thing, please, everybody, donate to KLAW. We need it now more than ever. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful station, as well as other tools that you know. But we need it more than ever. And one last question to your audience. Please call KLAW. I want you to be able, if anybody remember, Mario Savio, great Berkeley man. I also like to ask anybody who know, how did he die? I follow this great history. I met Mario Savio, who was a great man. We had lunch together. I wish all of us can go back to Berkeley in 1960s and 70s. Was it beautiful now? Now it's not. Thank you again. Beautiful show. Please, everyone, donate to KLAW. We need it more than ever, ever, ever. Thank you very much again.
Thank you, Ed. All right. And you are listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We do hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy hearing from you. So if you'd like to give us a call, those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. All right, it's my turn here, finally. And let's see. All right, let me give you a few questions. In what American city would you find the deepest public transit station in North America? It's 260 feet below ground. In what American city would you find the deepest public transit station in North America? It's 260 feet below ground.
Kara, any idea? I don't.
No, I mean, the obvious guess is almost certainly incorrect, being New York, because I know it goes pretty deep, but I don't think Dana would ask it if the answer was New York. So I don't know yet. I don't know.
Okay, leave that out. So once more, in what American city would you find the deepest public transit station in North America, 260 feet below ground? Let's see. Second question. Katharine Hepburn played a real person, not herself, in three films. Katharine Hepburn played a real person, not herself, in three films. What are those three films? I'll give you each one guess, because there are only three.
My guess goes to Lori. I'm bequeathing it to him.
No, I know someone played her, I think, in The Aviator.
Yes,
yeah, Kate. But I believe Kate Blanchett won an Oscar for
that.
It.
Yeah. She played in The Lion in Winter. She played Eleanor of Aquitaine.
That is correct, and that is a real person, by the way.
Yeah, and a great movie. Okay.
Can you hear that bell?
No.
No.
Oh my God! What do I have to do here?
Put it on your shoulder. Yeah. Finally, we're almost about, okay.
All right, Katharine Hepburn played herself, played a real person, not herself, in three films, and Lori got one of them, which is Eleanor of Aquitaine in The Lion in Winter. So, okay, there's your guess.
Okay.
And my final question here, and one guess on this each, please. We're eliminating New York and Chicago, from this list because it's too obvious. After New York and Chicago, what were the eight biggest cities population-wise in the United States in 1900? After New York and Chicago, what were the eight biggest cities population-wise in 1900 in the United States?
How about Boston?
Boston is one, good.
I would say Philadelphia.
Philadelphia is number three in that list, yes. Good. Okay, so we have Boston and Philadelphia. Again, what were the biggest cities in the United States after New York and Chicago in 1900? And I will say that there are several cities on that list that would never qualify for it today. So,
good hint. Yeah.
All right, leave that out. And the first question once more was, in what American city would you find the deepest public transit station in North America, 260 feet below ground? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hi, this is Greg in Alameda.
Hi, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Hi. So I have a couple guesses on the one word best drama.
What do you think?
Shows. And actually, it's because, Laura, you gave a good hint. So it must be 24.
It is. That is the number, along with 30-something. Very good. If we could hear the bell, you'd be getting one, maybe two.
Okay. And then when you gave that hint, it made me think of ER.
That's another one. Very good. Yeah, ER was 1966. And, 1996, and 24 was 2006. Very good.
Okay, but I only got those because of your hint. So
that's what the hints are for.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, young man.
Okay.
Way to go, Greg.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. I should say that our panel today, that would be Kira Pace, technical editor. Lori Fisher teaches at Diablo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That is KALW, your local public radio station. And Kira, we're back to you again.
All right. There have been four actors who have won Oscars or acting Oscars for two movies that were directed by the same people. For each person, tell me the two movies they got Oscars for and the director of those movies.
Okay, go over that once more.
Yeah, me too.
There are four actors who have won acting Oscars for two movies that were directed by the same person. For each of these actors, I want you to tell me the two movies they got Oscars for and the director of those movies.
And they could be men or women when you say actors, I presume?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you give us an idea how far back we go on this?
Yes, to practically the beginning of the Oscars.
Okay.
My first thought, Dane, this is to you, that it would be in the world of William Wyler. He directed a
That's a very good guess.
Yeah, but I don't. I know he's had the most nominees and winners, but I'm trying to think of who got two working with him. Good question, by the way.
I try.
Yeah.
And just for that, I will let you know that William Wyler is on our list of directors. He is on this list. So
okay, that helps some.
She's an actor, and two movies that this actor won Oscars for. If you're able to come at it from the actors with more than one Oscar.
Yeah. So Dana, what are Katharine Hepburn's Oscars? Who are her directors? Or Meryl Streep's? Those would be the two. I'd think right away.
No, Katharine Hepburn didn't have a shared director on any of her any of her Oscar wins that I can think of right offhand. And
Meryl Streep.
It's possible. I'm less up on Meryl Streep.
And Kira, these are all best, not best supporting, right?
Incorrect. Just acting Oscars, so it could be supporting acting, or full acting.
Okay.
Or like lead. There we go.
Right. Have to work on that, I think.
Ooh.
Okay, so one more time. There have been four actors who have won acting Oscars for two movies that were directed by the same person. For each actor, tell me the two movies they got Oscars for and the director of those two movies.
All right. We should know. Audience, get in.
And let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. Yes. Who's the most famous winner, on that show, Jeopardy? You know his name, right?
Ken Jennings,
you mean?
That's right. You know that he has a new book out, right?
Yeah, Connections or something. Is that it?
Right, yeah. What did he propose calling? Kind of like what your show is about. He proposed calling it, he didn't like the name Trivia. What did he propose calling it?
I don't recall. I have heard something to that effect.
Is it quizzing by any chance?
No. But you should take note of this because it's a feather in your cap of what you do. He says trivia. It's not a small thing. He considers what he does, what he knows. You know his phrase. Want to know it?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Cultural literacy.
All right.
So put that down on your desk. Culture.
Right.
You're about cultural literacy. It's not trivia. It's cultural literacy, knowing what's going on. So let me give you a little cultural literacy question, okay? Three songs that refer to a street called Vine. Do you know what they are? At least three that I can think of. Three songs that refer to a street called Vine.
You mean as in Hollywood and Vine?
Hollywood.
Hooray for Hollywood does, right?
No. Do you have a song in particular? If you tell you, I...
No, I'm just referring, wondering if the street, the Vine Street you're talking about, is the one that crosses Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah. Well, there's that one, but then there's another city in another state that also refers, they also refer to it, and then they refer to Vine. They refer to the street Vine.
But is one of is one of the songs "Hooray for Hollywood"?
Not on my list, in my mind.
Okay.
Well, what is the most famous one that I can think of? Because the title of the song rhymes with it needs that word Vine.
Wow.
No. Mine.
Yeah, you're on it.
Mine. A song title with mine in it. I mean mine. Yeah,
I thought you were about to say it. And then once you say it, the intersection. The intersection is 38th and Vine. Da 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 da. Boom. Da 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 da.
Huh.
Anyway, it's Love Potion number 9.
Okay.
Refers to Vine, a street called Vine. But there's also a very another famous one. And I thought it may be the answer to one of your questions so far. Are you ready? This one's in Missouri. What's the most famous city in Missouri that you can think of?
Everything's up to date in Kansas City?
No.
Is it Meet Me in St. Louis?
No, it's actually Kansas City. That famous rock song, Kansas City. It also refers to Vine.
Yeah, it does.
What's the intersection?
Is it Third Street in Vine? Something like that?
No. But you're right. It is a street.
I'm standing on the corner.
I do not have a memory for famous.
Yeah, I'm standing on the corner. Something in Vine.
12th Street in Vine.
12th Street. Very good.
and there's another one by David Bowie in his Aladdin Sane album. And the song is called Cracked Actor, if you happen to know. It's a great album. But he said, you caught yourself a trick down on blank and Vine. Do you know the song?
No, I do not.
I don't.
Sunset and Vine.
All right.
But since you pricked a baby, you're a porcupine. Anyway, it's not trivia, it's cultural literacy. So don't forget that.
All right. Thank you very
much. Take care.
Bye-bye. And if you'd like to give us a call, feel free to do that. With our two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. All right, next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi there, Tom in Southern California.
Hey, Tom.
Quick. Hi. Some of the biggest cities, how about St. Louis?
St. Louis is correct, yes.
Ooh. Okay, and D.C.?
No.
No, okay.
D.C. was kind of a small town, really, until World War II, when you read down to it.
And now it's just a place with small-minded people.
Yes.
The transit station, how about Mexico City for the deepest transit?
No, not Mexico. This is in the, it's an American city, so it's.
Well, you said North America. And.
Oh, did I? I'm sorry.
No, you did also specify USA.
Did I?
You said U.S. city.
Oh, we did? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
New Mexico City. No. let's see. I think that's all I got. Boy, short. I got in early. So the question I have this week has to do with H.G. Wells, who I just saw a documentary called Lost Soul about the making of the island of Dr. Moreau. Sure. Fantastic. I highly recommend it to everybody for a disastrous movie documentary. H.G. Wells, he had written a anonymous review of another author's work in 1896, another famous author. And this author found out that Wells had written in the review, and they became correspondents and friends. And that friendship ended when the author, this heretofore unnamed author, wrote a book he got an advanced copy of The Island of Dr. Moreau and read it, and then published a book about a year after that Wells considered to be extremely similar. Ooh. And said that he had been essentially plagiarized and ended the friendship because of that. Do you know who this author and the very famous book was?
Was it Jules Verne?
No.
Okay, because I thought it might be Mysterious Island. Okay. That was my first, that was a guess, but it was wrong. Okay.
Is this an English, an author who wrote in English?
Yes.
And wrote in the same genre, right? Kind of fantasy for that time? Oh, not really. Okay.
No. No.
Okay.
Huh.
What about Mark Twain?
No.
Okay.
No.
Interesting.
We need a hint.
This would be an English author who...
But they didn't usually write sort of science fiction?
No.
Hmm.
generally, did this author write adventure stories or what we consider popular fiction, or are they more literary?
You could say that. Well, but more on the literary, considered now definitely more literary than Wells.
More literary.
Yeah.
Huh. No, I don't know.
It was a Joseph Conrad in Heart of Darkness.
Oh.
Which the structure of his strike, if you look at the structures of the book, and actually apparently very similar is what I learned from this film. Anyway, thanks for the convoluted opportunity to ask a convoluted question, and I'll wish you adieu. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. All right. You're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. And we're going to now go over any questions that have not been answered yet. And Kira, we'll start with you.
Okay, I'm giving you the names of some fake movies, and I want you to tell me the real movies in which they were featured. The ones we have left are The Stand Up, 1979, Violets Are Blue, 1981, The Mutants of 2051 AD from 1983, Gandhi Part 2, 1989, Helix from 1999, and Goodwill Hunting 2, Hunting Season from 2001. Also, there have been four actors who have won acting Oscars for two movies that were directed by the same person. For each actor, tell me the two movies they got Oscars for and the directors of those two movies.
I have a question for Dana about Kira's question. Did Brando win for On the Waterfront and Streetcar Named Desire directed by Kazan, or do I have all that wrong?
No, that's right.
Okay, that's my guess then. Oops. Nope. None of it's right. Some of it's right. Okay.
But he didn't win for Streetcar Named Desire.
Okay.
Well, he won for On the Waterfront.
Okay. Well, that would hurt my answer. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. I'm looking for the Emmy for Best Drama. I'm looking for shows that just had one word in the title with no spaces. We're looking for two more. I got 30-something, Gunsmoke, Dragnet, and ER, and 24. I'm looking for two more, and that's all I have.
And okay. Are your two both from the 21st century at this point?
One is 20th, and one is 21st.
Okay.
One of each.
All right. And in what American city, U.S. city, would you find the deepest public transit station in North America, 260 feet below ground? What city is that? And let's see, Katharine Hepburn played a real person, not herself, in three films. Lori got one, which is a Lion and Winner. She played Eleanor of Aquitaine. What are the other two on that list? And what were the, after New York and Chicago, what were the eight biggest U.S. cities population-wise in 1900? So I think we have Philadelphia and St. Louis and Boston now.
Yes.
So we're still looking for the others on that list.
So on the underground?
Yes.
I assumed it wasn't New York, but I never actually guessed New York. So I will just guess New York just to make sure that it's not New York. Is it New York?
It is not New York.
Okay, good.
And can I take a guess at the biggest cities in 1900, or are we waiting?
You can give me a guess.
How about Albany, New York?
No.
Okay.
And how about Pittsburgh, New York, or Pittsburgh, New York, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
Neither one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. Let me just look at the emails here for a minute. Chris is wondering if the deepest transit station is in Denver. It is not. So that's a pretty good guess. Carlton is wondering. Yes, Carlton had Kansas City, 12th and Vine. Okay. Patience says that cultural literacy, the phrase, has been around for decades. She's probably right about that. And Patience is also wondering if Tryon Park, is the one nearest to the Cloisters. I guess that's New York. Is the station? No, it's not. Daniel is wondering if Stand Up 1979 is from All That Jazz.
Daniel is correct. Oh, it nice. Is from all That Jazz.
Good job. All right. Okay, good.
We heard a bell.
All right. I don't know what I'll have to do. But all right. And Lori, I believe it's your turn.
All right. Well, Some news has been coming out. Saturday Night Live is starting in a couple weeks, and one of my favorite performers, Heidi Gardner, has left the show. She had served for 8 years, and there's only four women in the history of Saturday Night Live who have been on the show for more than 8 years. I'd like to know the four women with the longest tenure in the history of the show.
Kate McKinnon?
Yes, number one at 11 years. Very good.
Amy Poehler?
No. Amy Poehler, I think, was on seven.
What about Jan Hooks?
No, Jan Hooks, she's low enough on the list. I think she was 5 or 6 years.
Okay, in that case, what about Nora Dunn? Because she had a couple of years before Jan Hooks.
Yeah, also not high enough on the list. Did not make it to 9 years.
Okay.
Only three more.
Kristen Wiig?
No, I was surprised. She was all, she. I think she topped out at 8 years as well.
Okay.
All good guess, you're in the right era.
Not Sherry O'Terry.
Not Sherry O'Terry.
Mm. All right. Molly Shannon was on that long. So
she was not. No. Yeah, lower on the list. All right.
Okay, leave it out.
Okay, so we're looking for the women with the longest tenure in the history of Saturday Night Live. Heidi Gardner had 8 years and is gone. And I'm, Kara got Kate McKinnon with 11 years. There's one more person with 11 years, and then one with 10 and one with 9.
All right. And Michael is wondering if the one name Emmy winners would MASH count.
MASH didn't win for best drama. When I asked the question about comedies, yes, it would count because abbreviations count, but not for this category. Half a bell.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good morning. It's Danny and Sandra in sunny Albany.
Hi, Danny. Hi, Sandra.
Hey, yeah.
Well, hi, you guys. All right, a few.
Hey, thanks for shouting out both of my hometowns there, Albany here and Pittsburgh.
All right.
Nice.
I knew I was out there.
All right, those of us who are old enough to remember her would guess Jane Curtin as the SNL person.
No, none of the original cast members lasted, I think, more than 5 or 6 years, so she's not on the list. Good guess.
Well, she reigns in my memory then.
She deserves to.
Is Deadwood a TV show with one word that
won an Emmy?
And won an Emmy?
It's two of those things. It's a TV show with one word, but it did not win Best Drama, so no.
Well, how about
a D plus?
Boston, one of the biggest cities in 1900?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. All right, hey. we have our own bell here. Okay, so
we need their bell.
We use it all the time.
Oh yes, we use it daily. So
send it to Dana.
Kate Hepburn.
What? No, say.
Catherine Hepburn. Catherine Hepburn. She played Mary Queen of Scots.
That's right. Mary of Scotland is the name of the movie. Very good.
I really, really was trying to make her play Elizabeth the First, but that was Betty Davis in two movies.
We kept getting stuck with Betty Davis.
Next week, I'll ask that question, okay?
I think your fire alarm is going off.
It'll do that. Is the deepest metro station in Washington, D.C.?
It is not.
All right. I seem to remember going way, way down there once. All righty. Well, let's see. I think that's all of our guesses.
Yeah, my brain isn't braining today, as some would say.
Yes, all righty. So, I've got a nice little musical movie question for y'all. I'm a big Humphrey Bogart fan, so I've nerdily watched all of his movies multiple times. There are songs that are played in pretty much all of my favorite Humphrey Bogart movies. And I'm going to give you the name of the song, and I'd like the movie and who sang them.
Okay, so are these songs in the background, but they're actually featured songs? Is that what you're saying?
They're all integral to the plots and the story.
Okay, go.
So we have Moanin' Low. Yeah.
That's from the one with Edward G. Robinson.
You're zeroing in on it.
Yes.
Think Florida.
It's Claire Trevor.
Key Largo?
Key Largo.
Key Largo, Claire Trevor.
Yes.
Knock on Wood.
That's Casablanca.
And who sang it?
Dooley Wilson.
Too Marvelous for Words.
Oh, that's that was kind of in the background more, but I like the use of that. That's the one in San Francisco with Lauren Bacall.
Where he's had surgery?
Yes. Yeah, the plastic surgery.
Yeah. Oh.
You're getting there. It's Dark Passage.
Dark Passage, yes. And they use it at the end when they meet up in South America, in Peru.
They do, and they play it they play it both in Lauren Bacall's apartment and on a jukebox in a bar. But whose recording they used? It was, I think, the biggest hit for.
That's interesting. The one that had the biggest hit with it is Bing Crosby, but I don't think they used that.
No, it's a female singer.
Interesting. No, I don't know.
It's Joe Stafford.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. She had a big hit with it. How about How Little We Know?
Was that? Dana, was that into Have and Have Not?
No. It was.
Okay. It was, yeah.
Did Lauren Bacall sing it?
Yes.
Yes, and somebody else also.
Hoagy Carmichael.
Hoagy Carmichael.
You betcha. Betcha. Okay, and I got two more. And Her Tears Flowed Like Wine.
That's Lauren Bacall, too, isn't it? And is that... that's from Philip Marlowe.
Yep.
The Big Sleep?
Big Sleep.
Big Sleep.
I can't think of names anymore.
All right, one more. Yes, We Have No Bananas.
Oh.
Hmm.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
Hmm.
I know the song. I don't recall it in a Bogart movie.
Is this? It's not Roaring Twenties, is it?
Nope.
Is it We're No Angels?
No.
Really good guess, though.
Very good guess. I should have figured out what the song was in that, but I didn't.
How about Beat the Devil?
That's not bad.
No, that's not a particularly musical. Yeah, this is not a noir.
give us a hint on that.
A later Bogart. 50s.
Kind of a comedy?
50s.
Yeah, it's sweet.
Romantic.
Oh, Sabrina.
Yes.
Yep.
Wow. And it's sung by...
Is it Audrey Hepburn?
She does.
Oh, no kidding.
She sings it. She sings along with the record. And in no place have I been able to find a reference to which recorded version they used. But there were lots of them. But anyway, that's all I got. Anyway, right, well done, guys.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. See you later. Bye.
Bye-bye. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We would love to talk to you, of course. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. I think it's my turn, actually. So let me give you a short question here. What 1980s winner of the Best Picture Academy Award was the last film to have two nominees for Best Actor in it? One won and the other did not.
Amadeus?
That is correct. And who are those two?
Who are the two were Tom Hulce and
F. Murray Abraham.
Very good. Good job.
And did you know, like, one of my favorite pieces of trivia is that also was a best, it was up for a best play, I think, for Tony. And the two actors were also up for best actor. And the one who played Salieri won.
And who was that?
I don't remember.
That's a good coincidence. Wow. That's cool.
Oh, man.
Good job on that. All right.
Well, thank you. Also, was Maya Rudolph on for more than 8 years?
Yes. Very good. Maya Rudolph gets a bell. She was on for 9 years. Excellent. Okay. We need two more. Great.
All right. I'll give you one more question here since Kara got that so quickly. What was the only first name that three first ladies had of the United States? What was the only first name that had that was the same name as three first ladies.
Out of curiosity, is at least one of the first ladies somebody who was not known by this first name, even though she had it?
Huh.
Of the, like, Lady Bird Johnson ilk?
One of them was known by a diminutive of that name. So I guess is that what you're sort of referring
to? No, it wasn't, but that's good to know.
Okay, there we go.
Because yeah, I was going to guess Mary. Not really any good Mary nicknames. Eleanor.
Not Eleanor.
Okay.
There were two Eleanors, I believe. But what was the only first name that three first ladies had in the United States? Yes. And one of them is in the 20th century.
Yeah. And all the rest are in the 18th?
No, they're spread around.
Oh.
Okay, leave that out, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, great. This is Stefan in Noe Valley.
Hi.
I have a guess about the deepest public transit stop.
Yes.
I guess station. I'm wondering if it's the one in San Francisco.
It's not. Do you know how deep the one is in San Francisco? I have, but I'm open-minded.
No, I do not know. But it is deep. But I'm not good at gauging hundreds of feet.
Which is the deepest one in the city?
The Rose Park one in the Chinatown.
Oh,
right.
Okay. Well, really? I don't know. This is as of this year, so I think it's unsurpassed as far as that goes. But no, it's not San Francisco.
Okay. What about largest cities among the largest cities in the U.S. 1900 roughly?
Yes.
Would San Francisco be one of them?
San Francisco is. As a matter of fact, that's the last time that San Francisco appeared on that list was in 1900 of one of the 10 largest U.S. cities. And I suppose you could, the earthquake and fire had something to do with it. But that was the last time that San Francisco appeared on the list. Very good.
That's good.
And then I have a question for you. In North America or in the U.S., continental U.S., what hotel... What city can claim the largest hotel lobby, most spacious hotel lobby in the U.S.? What city can claim that?
I would guess Las Vegas to start with.
Ooh.
Nope.
Nope.
Okay.
No?
They got some big lobbies.
It wouldn't be the Hyatt Regency, would it?
It would.
In what city?
San Francisco.
In San Francisco.
Oh, really?
Yes. Wow. That I thought of that. That's why I actually called, was that because I thought that the deepest subway would be here in the city. And then I've had this question for you guys on my mind for weeks and weeks. And I thought, hey, great time to call in for that. So, yes, I read it in the Chronicle, some article, not about the hotel, but about something else. And it mentioned in the article that, oh, by the way, that was the largest hotel lobby in the U.S. And I thought that's an interesting fact.
Yeah,
it's amazing that that's still true after all these years, because that hotel's been, what is that, 50 years old now? It's been around for a long time.
I think more. A friend of mine worked there in the 70s.
Anyway, thank you very much. That was a good question.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. Hope you're enjoying the show. Feel free to give us a call. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. Okay, who has a quick question? Laurie, you want to throw in a question?
Yeah. Following people have something in common with their public careers, and it's quite a diverse list. It's David Mamet, Faye Dunaway, Adam Driver, the actor, and Lou Reed. They all did something publicly, and I would say a little bit notoriously. What was it?
You mean I know Adam Driver was a Marine.
Not that, not military. And it's all of them had something to do. They were all celebrities when they did this thing. They didn't do it together.
Was it leaving a public interview?
It was. They all walked off fresh air during the taping for one reason or another at different times.
Adam Driver walked off fresh air.
I think it had something to do with how he doesn't like to watch himself in movies. They kept insisting on showing a clip or something or playing a clip.
It was exactly that. I think it was he'd never watched himself, and she pressed him on it. He said, "I don't want to talk about it," and left. Faye Dunaway was about her being asked a question about being an older woman in the movies, and she said, "I don't see myself like that." David Mamet was political. He claims now he's blackballed. So very interesting. Okay. I'll ask another in common question. Kara, do you have one though? A quick one?
No, you should go ahead.
All right. So in the first Ms. Magazine in 1971, I think it was, I'm going to give you a list of women who all were mentioned having done the same thing, not at the same time. Another kind of diverse list of Judy Collins, Billie Jean King, Lillian Hellman, Susan Sontag, and Nora Ephron. They're all part of... we're all mentioned in the first Ms. Magazine as having done something. What was it?
Gotten a divorce?
No.
Gotten a credit card?
No, but really good guesses.
Smoke marijuana?
Not that.
I don't know. Been Playboy bunnies?
Not all of them.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's all, as you're guessing, political.
And
Yeah, I mean, in the way that...
Were they all arrested for a demonstration?
I don't think so. At least not my list.
All right. Okay, leave it out.
Okay. So it's Judy Collins, Billie Jean King, Lillian Hellman, Susan Sontag, and there's others, but Gloria Steinem was on that list too. They all mentioned having done something in the first Ms. Magazine. They were featured as having done this thing.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, you're on.
Hi. Yes, thank you. For the Katharine Hepburn question, did she play Babe Diedrichson, the golfer?
Well, I understand why you would say that. She played a Babe Diedrichson-like golfer. But you can't say she played Babe Diedrichson in Pat and Mike because Babe Diedrichson was actually in the movie, made a cameo appearance. So, but no, she plays somebody like that, but not that.
Great guess. Well, thank you and love the show. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
And bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
So, Portland... You have to take an elevator a very great distance up to the zoo from the trolley line.
That is correct. Portland, Oregon has the deepest public transit station in North America, 260 feet. It's Washington Park. Yes.
Yes. Wow. Let me, however, say that that's a close. It may be the deepest, but the close runners-up are both metro stations on the D.C. system out in suburban Maryland, where the escalator from the platform to fare, mezzanine, et cetera, takes like 5 minutes. It's phenomenal. The other extremely deep one there, when you go to DuPont Circle and you look at the escalator up to the sky, it looks like you're looking for something in outer space. I mean, it's this tiny bit of sky that you see at the end of the at the top of the escalator as you're going up.
Interesting.
Huh. Yeah. Well, those of us who ride transit, not only for travel but for fun, collect these memories.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you getting
that. Good.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, sir. All right. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello? No? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello?
Oh my goodness.
Hello?
Go ahead, you're on. Hello? No? All right. Can we do a next call? That's it? Okay. All right. What? Yes? Okay, next call. Go ahead. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Nathan in Berkeley.
Hi, Nathan.
Hi, Berkeley.
Hi. They got the Portland answer. For largest cities in 1900, let's try New Orleans, Baltimore, Buffalo.
All right. You're right about Baltimore and Buffalo. Very good.
Not New Orleans. Okay.
Not New Orleans.
Here's a transit question to go with the deepest station. Where is the longest light rail line in the world? And I'll give you a hint. It's not a city that's known as a particular transit city.
Is it L.A.?
Yeah, it is in L.A.
Good job.
If that was
good work.
Too good a hint. Also, on the Vine, it's not exactly a specific mention, but Joni Mitchell's song, The Hissing of Summer Lawns, refers to Vine to a metaphorical Vine Street in that song, The Trash on Vine.
We'll add it to the list. Good work.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I got.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your call.
Thanks. No problem.
All right. Very quickly, we have a couple of emails here. Eddie, Jeffrey, and Deb all wondering on the Ms. Magazine question whether they burn their bras.
No, I believe none of the women burn, those women burn their bras. But okay. Again, it was something ultimately political.
Sandra wanted to tell Kira that Ian McKellen and Tim Curry played.
Yes, thank you. As soon as I can't believe I blanked on Tim Curry.
All right, time to clean up here. So Kira,
Tim Curry was Mozart, by the way. All right, so Violets Are Blue was in My Dinner with Andre, The Mutants of 2051 AD from Strange Brew. Gandhi Part 2 was in UHF. Helix was the movie in Notting Hill, and Good Will Hunting 2, Hunting Season. That's Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. The four actors who have won Oscars for two movies, acting Oscars for two movies directed by the same people. The first is Diane Wiest, Bullets Over Broadway, Diane Wiest, Bullets Over Broadway, and Hannah and Her Sisters from Woody Allen. Walter Brennan was the William Wyler from Come and Get It and The Westerner. Jack Nicholson, Terms of Endearment and As Good as It Gets from James L. Brooks. And finally, Christoph Waltz from Inglourious Basterds and Django Unchained from Quentin Tarantino.
All right.
That it?
That's it.
Okay. Of the women who are on Saturday Night Live the longest with the longest tenure, the ones we didn't get were Cecily Strong and Aidy Bryant, both on for 11 and 10 years. One-word titles that won Best Emmy for Drama. The two we didn't get were Lost and Maverick. The three more modern, they didn't have these on just in case people were thinking of them, on cable TV, Homeland, Succession, and Shogun. And the question of what do Judy Collins, Billie Jean King, Lillian Hellman, who else did I have here? Gloria Steinem. They all had abortions, and they talked about it, and they signed a letter saying that publicly in 1971, both a political and very controversial statement.
Okay.
That's it.
The biggest cities in the U.S. in 1900, the only ones that nobody got were Cincinnati and Cleveland. Cincinnati and Cleveland. As I said, many of those cities would not be on the list today. Katharine Hepburn played a real person in Song of Love. She played Clara Schumann, Robert Schumann's wife. And I'm trying to think. No, that's it, I guess. Okay.
Three first ladies' names.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much. Three first ladies. Yes. Three first ladies. Elizabeth is the name. Elizabeth Monroe, Elizabeth Truman, known as Bess, and Gerald Ford's wife, Elizabeth, known as Mrs. Ford.
Betty Ford,
yes.
Yeah.
And anyway, if we can get to your call, I do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Thank you, Kira Pace, technical editor.